Welcome to Strange Coordinates, the show where we use brands as roadmaps to arrive at surprising places. I'm Topher Burns.
And I'm Robert Balog. Topher and I founded an advertising agency called Territorial. And what we do is we help brands find their place in the world. We do that by exploring how history and culture and things like desire bounce off of one another to reveal insights about what's cool about being human.
That's right. And every episode on this show, one of us gives the other a brand to explore, and that person has to trek into the wilderness, come back with a story that they find to be most compelling. It's using brands as compass points to discover more about the world around us.
So it was my job to send you off on a journey for this week, and I'm pretty proud of what I chose because really this episode is a public service announcement. For anybody who's wondering what the heck's going on, this is a PSA about Stanley and the Stanley Cup. So what was on your brain when you heard that it was Stanley?
Yeah, Stanley wasn't a big thing for me, if I'm going to be honest. It wasn't something that I cared too much about. I was aware of. I knew the memes. But it kind of hit me like Tickle Me Elmo. Like I was like... I get that people care about this, but yeah. It wasn't necessarily like a thing that I was super jazzed about. But it was a really exciting thing to dive into. And I enjoyed quite a bit the journey that I went on. And it starts with an inventor named... It's Stanley.
It's Stanley,
yeah.
First or last name?
That was his last name. His name is William Stanley. He was a junior. But then he did also have a son.
Repping juniors.
I think there was also a junior. So William Stanley was actually a brilliant electrical engineer. Right at the beginning of when people started futzing around with electricity and trying to figure out how to make it work, he worked alongside Nikola Tesla.
Wow. And
he was responsible for basically being the father of the transformer. I didn't know what that meant. It's more than meets the eye.
Oh, God. Oh.
I literally just thought about that. Don't worry. I didn't write that ahead of time. But the transformer, I was like, I know it's an electric thing, but why is that important? Basically, the transformer solved the problem of how to distribute electricity widely. So certainly, you know, there's a lot of people that are connected to the invention of electricity, but... he solved a lot of fundamental problems that basically make it possible for electricity to work.
And so thank you for that, William Stanley Jr.
Thank you, William Stanley. We appreciate it. We're using your inventions even today. So he invented a lot of things that are fundamental for building the world that we know today. But actually, he struggled a lot of times to profit from them. And towards the very, very end of his life, kind of, it wasn't like he was a pauper, but he wasn't doing... that great. He was just kind of working on salary. He'd been kicked out of a few of the labs that he worked on. And so he ended up kind of trying to figure out a few different things once the work with the transformers had kind of like moved on. And one of the things that he figured out how to make better was an insulated container for drinks.
Huh.
The reason why he figured that out is because the things that you need in order to do early electrical tinkering are figuring out how to do really good welding and attachment of metal pieces,
mm-hmm.
and experimenting with vacuums and being able to create vacuums in order to create insulation and to allow electricity to travel better. So he knew how to do those things, and he came across this invention that he thought could be much better. That invention was the thermos, capital T thermos, invented by a guy in something like 1903. But the guy who invented the thermos used glass on the inside.
Right.
And so thermoses were very precious and very breakable. And once you break the vacuum, it doesn't work anymore.
Garbage.
So what Stanley did was manage to do with the welding and the vacuum packing that he needed to know in order to be able to create transformers, he made a better, what he would call indestructible thermos.
Amazing. Also, I want to point out that when you said he was a pauper, I heard you say he was a pauper, and then I thought like that he went down some dark path to like doing amyl nitrate in some, you know, dark club, sweaty club somewhere.
Did they have those in the 1913s?
Poppers? I'm sure. It was probably a medicine. It was probably prescribed.
They probably gave it to make kids shut up or something.
Exactly.
Every exactly. nurse had like, yeah. yeah. I wonder how different. How
come here, Timothy. Sniff this.
Do you think smelling salts are that different from poppers?
I think so. I do. I think smelling salts different. Were probably closer related to something organic, whereas poppers feel like they're like alien sweat or something.
Also, maybe smelling salts make you clench up. Like that's probably the opposite of
right.
what you need to
totally.
Be
yeah.
for a popper journey.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've got the thing invented, right? He invents it in 1913. So the Stanley insulated flask enters the market, and it's really successful initially with people who have rough and tumble things like construction jobs, mm-hmm. which means that when World War I starts, they start giving a look at this and thinking like, you know, our pilots need something to take up with them. There's a whole series of how the military establishment like threw the Stanley thermoses out of planes and ran over them with tanks, and they survived all of those things, which will be important to remember that these things are indestructible later.
Yeah.
So Stanley is kind of on this glide path through popularity with the greatest generation, but not necessarily, you know, finding new eras of being the it thing. But that fate started to change when it was bought by a company called PMI Worldwide. as with any company that uses an acronym, you know, not a terribly like super thrilling company, not a terribly charismatic company, they bought the Aladdin and Stanley brands in 2002.
Okay, 2002. I was going to ask, where are we talking here?
Yeah.
So between World War II and 2002, we had just sort of like a
cruising
denouement, Stanley just doing what it does.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Yeah. Green side handle form factor.
Yeah.
Sort of looks like a, I don't know, a fire hydrant, mm-hmm. like a green fire hydrant. And for a while, PMI Worldwide really didn't know what to do with the brand. By 2019, they had created this thing called the Stanley Quencher, which was a new form factor, bigger.
Yeah.
But in this next part of the story, there is an important person that interacts with the Stanley brand. And that is Terrence Riley, who is hired from being the CMO of Crocs and gets hired by Stanley.
No.
Yes.
What a twist.
Yeah. So he's the person who took Crocs from Mario Batali's shoe.
Yeah.
To like Post Malone's shoe.
Terry, love
He's
your work.
He's responsible for that sort of journey.
Love your work. I have a pair of camo, this looks ridiculous, camo Crocs upstate. We used
I was going to say, doing. Please tell me you're wearing them right now.
Yeah. Yep. This is an all camouflage outfit, actually, too. yeah. But no, definitely they saved our butts because they're easy to get into and out of. They're durable. They're amazing for another podcast.
And those things have always been true about Crocs, but what Terrence Riley was really responsible for was making it so that you could also like not feel ashamed to wear them to the bodega, turning them into this sort of like cultural thing. And so that's what he gets brought into Stanley to do. And I've done a lot of reading about kind of like his work and how people feel about like, a lot of people who are students of marketing and kind of like the commercial world, they'll talk about the 2010s as kind of the internet brands era, where you have brands like Casper, where they take an undifferentiated category and then they find a new way to deploy it in easier ways. They eliminate pain points. They use the internet to get it to you. And so they turn an undifferentiated category into something that you're willing to pay a premium to be a part of because it's easier. It comes in a new form factor, whatever it might be.
Better packaging and marketing.
Exactly. So we get our sort of like Instagram brands in the 2010s. But if those are the 2010s, then Terrence Riley sort of serves as a paragon and maybe an exemplar of the 2020s, which are going to be moving from Instagram brands to TikTok brands.
Yeah.
And TikTok brands are all about reinventing dad brands and heritage brands and finding new ways to bring them into your life and give them relevance. And so you can see why Terrence Riley is the perfect person to bring into Stanley. He needs to figure out like how to turn this into a thing. And so he does that with the help of Mormons.
Shut the front door with respect to our Mormon brethren.
Okay, so it might not just be Mormons, but it's definitely Utah. And so we can assume that there are at least some Mormons in the mix here.
Incredible.
So I'm going to have to back out again to talk about something that you may or may not know about Mormon culture. And it's sort of like Mormon pop culture. So what Mormons have in Utah that is a wildly popular business is dirty sodas. And dirty sodas are, you pull up to a dirty soda stand. It's like a soda fountain, but they will mix anything into your sodas. So you get a Pepsi, a Coke, Dr. Pepper, whatever it is that you, Sprite, whatever you want. But then you're gonna get it. This is like taking the Sonic ocean water to like a whole new level. They have a massive amount of different syrup flavors. They will put milk in sodas. They will mix in different textures and colors. So it's a way to take like your normal Pepsi or whatever. And be able to do something fun with it, which I think is awesome.
Like, sure.
You know, humans love to have things like that. And
also,
I think it's
Dirty Soda
kind of fun.
Is just an amazing rap name.
Yeah. Yeah. That, do you think it's like a D-R-R-T-Y?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd listen to that.
Sure. Or is it more like a genre? It's probably more of a genre. You know what I mean? It's like a whole genre of music coming from like not New Orleans, but like Shreveport or something like that. You know, like it's just a little like off.
But now I think we're just basically talking about mixing cough medicine into soda again. And I'd say that folks are way ahead of us on that one.
Yeah, for sure.
But, you know, I enjoy some of that music. So this is a thing, right? Mormons getting their own special big sodas mixed up. And it's like, you're not adding, you know, you're not getting like a can and putting a little pump into it. Like, this is a big thing. It goes in, like, these are big gulp-sized cups. And we're talking about Utah. We're talking about driving long distances. We're talking about vans.
Right.
So there's this entire culture of kind of getting big drinks and driving around with them to things like church functions, soccer practice, school, etc.
Right. I can't imagine the effects of like 36 ounces of cola when you have no other stimulants in your life. Like, that must be euphoric.
Well, I think it's, you know, if you do it every day, it probably starts to lose a little
bit of its
appeal.
I suppose so. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. But like...
But yeah. And, you know, maybe some people are doing Sprite, you know?
That's true.
So when Terrence wants to start moving his sluggish inventory, he finds a place called BuyGuide. What he doesn't know as somebody who doesn't have the history of living in Utah as a woman is that a pretty colored pink, purple, blue, massive jug that fits into your car cup holder and allows you to carry an enormous amount of liquid and keep it cold all day is exactly what this audience wants.
Right.
He doesn't know that because he's not that type of person, but the folks at BuyGuide know.
Right.
And so when they release the quencher, they sell out those 5,000 units immediately. And that is what begins the influencer marketing that they start to invest in, the new color ranges that they start to invest in. They start dumping more and more marketing and developing more and more product because they have found a new target market that hasn't been spoken to before. These people would not have been able to use the original form factor of the Stanley to go about their daily lives. They need something that fits in the cup holder. Right. They also want something that's cute. So he's turned sort of a thing that didn't have a use into an audience that has that use case. So remember when I talked about performance?
Yeah.
One of the things that really, really blew up on TikTok that goes back to the super stringent sort of military testing that went into the original Stanleys is this one lady had an, she's fine, everybody's okay, but her car caught on fire. And she posted a video the next day that was like, oh my God, y'all were asking about my car on fire. And she's taking a video and you can see just like devastation, you know, like foam, blistering, scorching.
Right.
And she's like, y'all were asking about my Stanley. And she reaches into the cab of the car where her Stanley cup is. She picks up the Stanley cup and she shakes it. And you can hear the tinkle of ice from yesterday that she put this ice in the car. The car had a fire. The fire had been put out. And it was a day later and the ice was still cold in the Stanley cup. So that's the type of engineering that gets you the world of electricity. And that's the type of engineering that can keep your ice cold all day. So when she posted this, it blew up, became really viral. And eventually
is there no plastic in it? There's no, like, is the outside...
There was a little, there's a little plastic top. But it wasn't like the entire thing had been ravaged in the conflagration. It looked like it was kind of like mostly engine fire that had kind of like blistered everything.
Amazing.
Terrence bought them a new car to go with the new Stanley that he replaced it with. It was a great, it was a slick move.
Yeah. Terry knows how to work the angles.
So, we as Americans.
We live in a world.
Yes. We live in a world where people tell us, like, you should be drinking 8 glasses of water a day. And we say, like, that's awesome. I do want to have the beauty and the energy and the weight loss and the vitality that drinking 8 glasses of water will give me. But goddamn, water's boring. So that has created this abomination called water talk.
What?
Are you familiar with water
talk? I'm not familiar with water talk.
Oh my God. All the people I hate the most on TikTok are part of water talk. Okay, I'm gonna, I have a few
Have visual aids?
Let's make my water of the day. What flavors am I gonna choose today? I'm in a Skittles mood today, so I'm going to do the purple Skittles and then also
the
Skittles packet, which is pineapple and passion fruit. Okay, I'm doing a full packet of the Wildberry Punch Skittles packet. This one's one of my favorites. Let's give that a little mixer-oony.
Is that a glass thing shaped like a Stanley thing?
Let's add half of that pineapple passion fruit packet here.
Are we mixing waters?
All right, now I'm gonna try to layer
We're
this
making a water
on top of the
parfait.
Layer.
We're making
it's
water parfait.
Beautiful. Yep. If we can execute it, I think it's working.
Have we reached the end of our utility
species? Oh my God!
I
think this
species
is the cleanest layer we've ever had. It looks so beautiful.
I mean,
I don't even want to do anything to it.
I think we might.
But we have to talk about
Oh, we're adding more. Are we putting bubbles in?
Of course. So I'm going to try the mermaid syrup on top of this here, and hopefully it won't mess up
this,
our layer.
This is just
it's looking like we're still layered and beautiful. Oh,
this
my
is
gosh,
not great. I think we also need
it's
maybe
so
like
pretty.
A
I don't even want to mix it, but we have to need all those
makeup tutorial
combined.
Video to go with this as well, because I'm not sure the foundation is right for this lighting.
I know.
Gorgeous color though. Oh,
Joseph, okay, but why layer it if you're just going to mix it up?
I don't know, like a really dark periwinkle color? It's so pretty. Let's try it.
Ooh, does it taste like water?
Oh, of course it's good.
It tastes like soda.
Yes. Thank you for exposing me to that.
So we've turned the, like, you have to drink 8 times a day, 8 glasses of water a day, into this. Which, what would you, how would you describe what you've just witnessed?
Something you would use to make a child try to ingest something that is not on their the top of their list of things that they want. So like dressing up vegetables.
Yeah, he says mixer-oony.
I mean, that's I assume that was going to come out of his mouth the second that the first frame came
up.
Yeah,
my man has an exceptional depth of like really tacky Hawaiian shirts.
I mean, you gotta
but they go with the water.
Yeah.
They go with the water. So there's this whole like mixing sugary tasting, but I think technically not usually. Most of the people who are big on water talk aren't mixing full sugar stuff.
Right.
So they have deviated from the original sort of like Mormon indulgence of getting like a soda and then blasting that with a bunch of other stuff. But it's still just like a massive amount of chemicals that now you're preparing in multiple different ways. But there's a whole like cocktail it for yourself.
Is this an LDS thing? Is water talk an LDS thing?
No. Okay. Water talk is just an everybody thing.
Okay, cool.
And Stanley's a big part of it. People make stuff in their Stanleys. But the problem is if you're pouring from a plastic bottle.
Yeah.
Into the Stanley, and then you're ripping open plastic sachets of flavors. Right. Like, at this point, we've completely moved on from, like, A, what it really means to drink water, which is just, like, something simple and
totally cleansing. Most abundant substance on Earth.
B, what it means to, like, save the Earth by having something that replaces single-use plastic. Mm-hmm. But that's where we are now.
Yeah, no good deed goes unpunished, basically, in this world.
Yeah.
So thanks, Stanley. Thank you, Stanley Company, for introducing this vehicle for hellish behavior.
Yeah. Stanley now is like so craveable, and they're actually into this next level, which is we no longer welcome the chaos of our drops because they're starting to get much like Taylor Swift tickets. Snapped up by bots and then resold for literally sometimes upwards of $1,000. So they're starting to find third parties the way that Ticketmaster finds third parties to help them cut down on sort of scalping. They're doing that with their drops
this
now.
This is amazing.
And they're actually like going to market and being like, we want things to be a little bit more chill. We don't want them to be like as insane.
We're also just training AI how to manipulate us eventually. Like, They seem to like this vessel.
Yes.
I don't know why AI is talking like Leonard Nimoy, but that's in my head. That's what it's like.
I think the AI would pick that for itself.
Yeah, I would too. Yeah, you're right. If they have a choice of voices, that seems pretty great.
I understand that choice.
Yeah. What a nice connection back to the past, Topher, and also a journey through the present of the crazy world of TikTok and how it's supplanting Instagram in terms of how brands behave. I didn't even think about that in terms of like what are brands doing differently now that the channel has shifted.
Yeah, and I think it also kind of is a really interesting turning point in kind of what consumers that increasingly are Gen Zs value. And it's a really interesting time to be in a space like private equity or, you know, buying brands that may be floundering and have a heritage that's based in quality or sort of industrial.
Right.
And be able to then figure out how to deliver that value to a more modern consumer in very, very modern contexts.
Yeah.
So I think it's something we're already seeing a ton of, and I definitely expect us to see more.
Well, it's like Fila. That happened to Fila like 3-4 years ago. Maybe more. I don't know. The pandemic erased all sense of time. But, you know, late 2010s, Fila was purchased by private equity and relaunched as a brand and then just became like super hot. They did an incredible job at kind of remarketing it and repackaging it.
Yeah, think about Todd Snyder doing, working with Champion a lot to help them forward on that. You know, like I think we can already see that in the world of fashion, but it's moving into everything else.
Yeah. Amazing. That was awesome. What's coming my way, Topher? What's happening?
Well, I got so inspired by the health or not so health fad stuff connected to Stanley. And it got my brain running. And what I'm interested for you to look into is Nordic Track.
Yes, that's awesome. That's so awesome. That is so awesome. Yeah. There is definitely still one in my parents' house that is in the closet in my sister's room, which has been preserved as her room always was. My room, however, has been turned into an office.
Yeah.
My sister's room has been preserved as if it is a museum. And in her closet is my mother's Nordic Track.
Is it like air clothes hanging on it, or is it still functional?
It's probably not functional. It's, you know, the little fake ski things have come off. But this is so exciting. I have a deep connection to Nordic Track.
I only know it from the commercials that I thought were hilarious as a kid. So yeah. I'm so excited to know more about it.
That's going to be amazing, amazing, amazing. Thank you so much. And I also feel like you have now given me two brands that connect to some deep childhood memories with, you know, first with Carnival and Kathy Lee Gifford.
Yeah.
This is like a long therapy session you're building here, isn't it?
Yeah. You're trying to think of what, like, the next trap I'm going to lay for you. Like, eventually there has to be a punchline. Yeah. Just like, sure, yeah, these have been lovely memories, but soon we're going to get into your trauma.
Yeah, exactly. Well, anyways, that will be for an episode far down the road. But for next time, we're going to be looking into Nordic Track. We'll be skiing our way into the backcountry and figuring out what Nordic Track's all about. Yep. You've been listening to Strange Coordinates. It's the show where we use brands as roadmaps to arrive at surprising and fascinating places. Your hosts are Topher Burns and me, Robert Balog. So to learn more about our agency, Territorial, go to our site at weareterritorial.com, join our mailing list, and follow us on LinkedIn, and do all that great stuff, like even subscribe to our podcast.
Yes. Thank you so much, everybody.
Thank you.
We'll see you again soon.
See you. Bye. Go get your forever cold drinks. So, like, I was super excited to hear more about Stanley because these kinds of trends have always fascinated me. I remember when, like, Beanie Babies was huge, and I was living in San Francisco at the time. I could only afford basic cable, and the only show that was interesting besides Sábado Gigante on Univision.
God bless.
Love it.
Oh, man, I love Sábado Gigante.
So the only other show that was interesting was on QVC. I think it was QVC. It just might have been, like, the sales channel. There was an hour-long show, and I think they may have extended it to 2 hours, where they sold, like, the most exclusive Beanie Babies. And this guy was, like, rabid about the Beanie Babies. Like,
yes,
he had this mix of, like, Hulk Hogan meets like a kind of baseball announcer. So he would be like, oh, this one's got the red stitching, can you see this right over here, this is incredible. And he'd lean in really close. And he'd be like, guys, I'm not going to lie to you. This is possibly the best Beanie Baby I've ever seen. It would be like the London Beanie Baby. And he would just freak out. And then the new drops, he would lose it. And we would just sit there transfixed watching this guy for a half hour lose his shit over stuffed Beanie Babies. So I'm connected to these phenomena in a way that feels very personal. But also, like, I'm still trying to figure out, like, what the literal fuck is this all about?
Okay, I've got good news for you.